Well, welcome to today's presentation, which is concerning the times of the Gentiles, a phrase which Jesus used in Luke 21. Today we're going to be looking at the very first session, which we're going to focus on the idea of trying to understand Jesus better. And so what we want to do is we'll look at an outline of the different portions of this topic that we're going to discuss. There's basically five sections we'll be looking at. And especially to begin with, just the idea, why would we care about this times of the Gentiles or what it means? Why is it an important thing to understand? And as we go through this series of presentations, I hope you'll see that there's many other topics that impinge on this idea of the times of the Gentiles. And it's actually a fairly crucial thing to understand if you want to understand the big picture of the Bible and how a lot of the different aspects of what God is doing in history fit together. So let's begin by taking a look at the sequence of topics we're going to cover as we go through this presentation. Well, the first thing we're going to look at is this idea of, and that's this presentation, is understanding Jesus. Obviously, Jesus is a fabulous teacher because he's God in the flesh. He's a tremendous teacher, obviously the best teacher in the world or ever there could be. And I think many of us would say readily that, of course, understanding Jesus is difficult. There's things he says that are absolutely simple. Even a child could understand. Jesus loves you. You know, it's like the song, Jesus loves me, this I know because the Bible tells me so. Some of the things of divine revelation are very simple, and thankfully for that, especially the important ones. But as we listen to Jesus teach, especially in the Gospels, there's many things that he says that they're difficult to understand. And I want to say to you that they're difficult for two different reasons. One of them is something we can't really do anything about. And that is that Jesus is teaching some tremendously deep ideas. And so it doesn't matter what your persuasion is, how much you know, how much background you have, they're going to be challenging. And they're not just challenging from a conceptual or intellectual point of view, they're challenging from a moral point of view, and they're challenging from a point of view of life change as well, as far as what God expects from us and wants from us. Then there's a second category of things that Jesus says that are hard to understand. And these ones are things that we can do something about. These are the things that Jesus has to say that assume that we have a good understanding of the Old Testament. And to the degree that we're unfamiliar with the Old Testament, we're not going to understand Jesus as well as we could. And in fact, it even gets worse than that. There are situations where not only do we misunderstand him, but we come away with an incorrect understanding of what it means to follow him or what God is doing in history. And as a result, we then can call ourselves Christians, but we're actually at risk of misrepresenting what God is doing or misrepresenting God's views about different aspects of what he's doing. And some of these things are kind of politically hot potatoes. They're not that simple to just say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter what we think or know about these things. Examples would be the promised land or the role of Israel today in today's geopolitical climate. Other issues, of course, would be moral ones. About how to live and what kind of relationships are acceptable to God. So I want to look at the times of the Gentiles. What did Jesus say? Why is it important to understand what he meant by it? And how can we understand better what Jesus was talking about when he mentioned the times of the Gentiles? And that's what we'll be looking at today. After that, in the next session, we'll be looking at this concept of mediatorial kingdom. Mediatorial kingdom. Now, you won't find the term mediatorial in the Bible. You find the concept. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And of course, we know Jesus is the go-between between man and God. But I want to look specifically at this idea of kingdom. Why is there a kingdom in the first place? What's a mediatorial kingdom? What does that mean? And why is that related to the times of the Gentiles? Thirdly, we'll take a look at the failure of the Davidic rule. And that is this concept that there is a throne of David that was established that's related to a mediatorial kingdom. And that over a period of time, the various kings that were on the throne that were representing God ended up going apostate and further into sin to a point where essentially the Davidic rule failed. We'll also look at this idea. The fourth issue we'll look at is Babylon past and future. It turns out that Babylon within scripture has a direct relationship to the times of the Gentiles and the mediatorial kingdom. We'll see how they're related and why it's important to grasp how Babylon factors in throughout the Bible to grasp this idea of the extent of the times of the Gentiles. Finally, we'll look at the presentation of the king, and that is obviously Jesus, who's in the line of the rule from the throne of David. He's a descendant of David, actually in two different ways, one by Solomon and one by Nathan, one through Joseph, one through Mary. And we'll take a look at those inheritance lines, how Jesus came to present himself as the king to Israel. And in his rejection, what were the implications and how are they related to the times of the Gentiles? And I hope to show that the times of the Gentiles, the fact that they are, that we're in the times of the Gentiles now is related to the fact that Jesus was rejected at his first coming by the nation of Israel. So those are the issues we'll be looking through as we work on this, idea of understanding the times of the Gentiles. So let's start off first by just looking at the passage itself where Jesus mentions this somewhat enigmatic phrase. And the passage we'll be looking at here is Luke 21, verses 20 through 24. And if you could read along with me, and I have it there on the video, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For then there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So this is the passage where Jesus mentions this idea. Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. When we look at this passage, we'll see some interesting things in it. But first, I want to back up a little bit and just talk about the role of Luke in relation to the other synoptic gospels. And of course, the synoptic gospels are the first three gospels that are very similar, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what we'll see is that all three of them discuss this issue of the fall of Jerusalem. The context here is that Jesus is talking about the events that are related to the fall of Jerusalem and his second coming. And in the Synoptic Gospels, we'll see parallel chapters that discuss this, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and here we're in Luke 21. All three passages discuss two different references. They have a mixture of references, near-term and far-term. The near-term concerns the coming fall of Jerusalem to Rome, the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place some 40 years after the time Jesus spoke this in 70 AD. But also mixed in with these predictions concerning Rome and the destruction of the temple are far future events that have to do with the second coming and lead up to the second coming. And so when we look at these passages, one of the things we're going to see is that we have both near-term, first coming, and soon after the first coming, and far-term, second coming passages, and some of the events that are talked about are very closely related, but what we need to do when we look at these passages is we need to properly sort out which is it that's talking about first coming and what parts are talking about second coming. And in the particular, this particular passage that I've just read, this section out of Luke, it is my belief it's completely concerning the near term, follow Jerusalem, following the first coming of Christ. Now it does have a little hint in it of the second coming, and that is the word until near the end of the passage where it says, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And I think that's a reference. That's a reference to how the ends of this period of time comes about, which relates to the second coming of Jesus. But notice in this passage before us that it's talking about the fall of Jerusalem, and it's different than what we see about the warning signs in Matthew 24, example. Jesus talks about when you see. Here he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. But in Matthew, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Notice how those are different. One of them is talking about seeing a trigger that has to do with an image, I believe, being set up within the temple, the abomination of desolation. This warning sign is quite different in Luke. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, and that's a clue to us that those two triggers, the when you see triggers, are different for, and they're written for two different audiences. The first audience is the Jews of Jesus' day. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, those are the Jews of Jesus' day and thereafter. He's saying the fall of Jerusalem is coming and it's time to flee. The ones that he's talking about when you see the abomination of desolation, that's the second group of Jews that live at the time of the end prior to his second coming. And that might, if you've never heard this idea before, maybe that sounds crazy. How, Tony, can you say that, you know, these parallel passages, one's talking about one group of Jews and another's talking to another group of Jews, and I would submit to you, it's a big topic, but there's many passages like that where the first reference is a nearer term reference and the second reference is a far term reference and they're closely associated. So you just have to trust me on that for now. So without the Old Testament, and this is my key, this is the point I'm trying to make in this video, without the Old Testament, what is it that we would assume based on what Jesus said about the times of the Gentiles? So we look at this passage on its own in isolation, without the Old Testament, what can we say? Well, we can say first that Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies, and that's a sign that its desolation is near. Secondly, it's clear that those who are in Judea, obviously they would be the ones outside of Jerusalem, because if you're in Jerusalem and it's surrounded by armies, you're probably not going to get out. So those in Judea who are outside of Jerusalem that see it surrounded by armies, they're to flee to the mountains. Thirdly, this is a period of distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Notice Jesus says, this people. This is not just God's wrath, but it's God's wrath upon the Jews and Israel, and it's primarily concerning the fact that they rejected the king and crucified the king, that is their Messiah, Jesus. And so these decisions that are made by religious leaders and also by people have severe consequences, and one of the consequences is that God's wrath will be visited upon Israel for rejecting Messiah Jesus or King Jesus. And he says, what are some of the consequences? Well, there's several. One is there's distress in the land. God's wrath upon this people, the Jews. They will fall by the edge of the sword. Obviously, that's not a good thing. Many people will die. And they will also be led away captive into all nations. And so we have yet another diaspora or dispersion of the Jews. And of course, there's been many in history, but this is the one that took place at the fall of Jerusalem. And he mentions that along with the fact that Israel by and large will be dispersed among the nations, that Jerusalem itself, the city, will be trampled by Gentiles. And that term Gentiles is ethnon in the Greek. It's basically ethnicities other than Jews. So you could also translate it nations, trampled by the nations, but not the Jewish nation, but non-Jewish nations. And then most importantly, we would see that this period of time where the Jews will be dispersed has an end point. Until, there's that very important word, until, and we see that until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled in verse 24. So Jesus defines a specific period of time, and it begins with the fall of Jerusalem, or does it? And that's one of my points here, is that if we don't have the Old Testament and we just look at what Jesus says here, the assumption we're going to naturally make is that he's talking about a period of time that began with the fall of Jerusalem and that ends at some future point. That's what we would assume. And we would think there's two, a beginning and an end, and the beginning is with the fall of Jerusalem. But I'm going to suggest, as we learn more about this topic, that that would be an incorrect understanding based on ignorance of the Old Testament. The ending point, clearly, is when the Gentiles no longer trample Jerusalem underfoot. The implied characteristics of the time period are that Gentiles will have dominance over Jerusalem in some sense. It's not really clear exactly how, but in some sense, the Gentiles will have dominance over Jerusalem. Also, during this time period, a large number of Jews will be dispersed out of the land residing among the nations. So rather than the Jews all being in their land in the blessing of God, they're not going to be in the blessing of God. It's a time of God's wrath upon the nation, and the nation is, as a result, going to be dispersed out of the promised land. That's one of the characteristics of the time period. One of the things I also want to point out here is, and this is something that people don't always appreciate, is Jesus is making an ongoing Jewish-Gentile distinction. During this period of time, which began no later than the fall of Jerusalem, I'm implying once we learn more, we'll find out it began much earlier than the fall of Jerusalem to Rome. It began at a previous fall of Jerusalem to another nation. But my point is that this is a time period that clearly extends beyond the cross, because they're not going to be invaded by Rome and dispersed among the nations until 70 AD. And then during the period of time while they're dispersed and while they're among the nations, Jesus says that this is the times of the Gentiles. And there's several things we should infer from this. One is that the times of the Gentiles may not have come to an end yet. In other words, we are still in the times of the Gentiles. And that is an interesting thing, because Jesus is saying, he's talking to about our time today, and he's saying it's a Gentile time. Well, I thought there was neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ Jesus. So why is Jesus making a Jewish-Gentile distinction that extends far beyond the cross? In fact, it extends far beyond the completion of the canon of the New Testament. Well, I want to suggest to you that it's indicating that from God's perspective, there is still an importance and a distinction between whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, not in the way you come to salvation, not in access to salvation, not in importance in God's eyes as far as individual salvation, but there is still some sort of a Jewish unfinished business that God has, and Jesus is alluding to this here when he says that there is a time in the future that's going to be characterized by Gentiles trampling the city of Jerusalem, and it's not a Jewish time. And the implication is, when it comes to an end, that it will then be a Jewish time. So the question then is this all there is to understanding this enigmatic phrase from Jesus about the times of the Gentiles? Jesus doesn't really elaborate, and we're left with sketchy details about what he might mean. But elsewhere in the New Testament, we would see that Jesus assumes that his listeners have an understanding of God's revelation leading up to his first coming. And so he says in several places, for example, in Mark 12:10, he's speaking to the religious leaders, and he says, Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Elsewhere in Mark 12:24, he also is talking to the Sadducees. He says, are you therefore not mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? So it's easy for us to read those passages and then, you know, look askance at the religious leaders because they're the bad guys in the Gospels. But how often are we guilty of the same, where Jesus is telling us something and we have access to the scriptures, the Old Testament, and we're in the same boat as the religious leaders, not necessarily that our hearts turned against Jesus, but we're ignorant. We haven't read the scripture. We don't know the scriptures. Yeah, we maybe have read them through devotionally somewhat, but we don't really understand them. And because we don't understand them, we're ignorant of Jesus. And yet we proclaim so loudly, just like the religious leaders did about their following of God, we proclaim that we're Christ and we love him. He's our Lord. We'll follow him anywhere. And then we stick our head in the mud when it comes to wrestling with the Old Testament to try and understand things better. And what I want to make the case for here and try to motivate you about, motivate myself as well, is that if we love Jesus, then we will love the Old Testament. We won't treat it as a second-class book. We'll spend time in it so that we can understand when Jesus came, what was the context? And when he says things, what is he assuming we understand? And we'll find when it comes to this business of the times of the Gentiles, that there is a lot to understand from the Old Testament. And not only that, but it has a huge bearing on Jesus' first coming. And it reveals some amazing things that God did in genealogies to bring Jesus at just the right time in just the right way. And it will deepen our worship. This better understanding of the times of the Gentiles will allow us to worship Jesus in spirit and truth. We'll have more motivation. We will understand a larger greatness of what God has done. And also, we'll be in step with what God's doing in history. And I submit to you that these are important things. So as we continue to the next session, we'll find out that this time period has a lot to do with a big theme running throughout Scripture of dominion and mediatorial rule that God set up. And that will be the subject for our next presentation.